Is it called The World of Gumball?
That's a different one.
Oh, okay.
That's a cat.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about a regular show. The guy who's like the most straight-laced character in the show is, what was his name? Benson?
Benson.
Oh, yeah, that's some straight-laced. You know,
they live in the middle of a large park, and Benson's like the park manager.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the boss or something.
And there's the albino gorilla guy.
Skips.
Skips, yeah. And Pops. Pops is awesome. Good show. Good show.
He's got like serious dementia or something.
I'm trying to picture him because I feel like, oh no, that's a different guy.
He looks like the Monopoly guy.
You guys ever watch Uncle Grandpa?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that commercial just made me like think it was silly. So he's like, Uncle Grandpa. And
I liked Uncle Grandpa, but there's a bad character in a good show can just ruin it.
It really can.
And like, I liked everything about that show except for Pizza Steve. But Pizza Steve was so damn annoying to where I couldn't watch the show anymore the good parts I liked.
So he's not bad in the sense like he's a evil guy or something.
No,
or
he's just dumb.
He's just annoying. A jerk.
Yeah.
He's just a jerk. Yeah.
He's just a narcissist. He's like Bender, but worse.
See, I don't know how you can say it because Bender was great, man. Like, I just couldn't. What's up?
Oh. Scam likely.
Well, I was gonna say, is it Gwen?
No. <She's>
Gwen knows we're recording. All right, let's try.
Bender is great. Bender, 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 Bender.
That was the greatest group of infinite me's I've ever known.
I kind of feel maybe if I actually watched, because I've watched very little Futurama. If I actually like watched more of it, he might kind of become too much. Like, there's too many shows where there's a character that I think, you know, he's kind of a douche. Like, there's no redeeming qualities of him. Like, there's no reason. If you had, you know, had one bullet, you had to take out him or another person. 99% of the time, you're taking him out. I mean, not just because he's a robot.
My opinion, you just described, like, Scrubs, The Office, House.
Like, the whole cast?
Like, yes.
Well, see, it's not like
there's always one person like that.
Like House is that one, but he's like the center. You know, Futurama doesn't center around Bender. I feel like if it did, I don't know if I would have been able to.
No, thankfully you're right. It doesn't. It centers more around Fry.
Yeah.
And the newest season, there's only like 6 episodes. They've made up an 11th season.
it's still going. Like I said,
it's restarted or continued
for like the third time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Resurrected it.
And they actually made they kind of continued it because the last episode, like, they broke time. Oh. Everything stood still except for Fry and Leela. Until the...
I was going to say because they're human, but wait, they're most of them humans.
Yeah.
Well, but no, I think they were able to fix it at the last minute, though.
Yeah, the professor was actually, like, tunneling through time, and he caught up with them and told them that he could fix it, but it would undo everything, and it would take them back, like, 10 years, and they wouldn't remember it, thus creating a causality loop.
And they're like... Okay. You want to do it again? Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Just do it all
so
over
it begins
again.
At the beginning. So then that was the end of season 10. So they started a season 11 and it starts right there with the professor kind of gives this little narration and log
to bring us up.
To bring it up to date, and then it's like, okay, so here we go. We're doing this.
but they're not like repeating the adventure, right? They just they do separate adventures.
Actually, some of them are continuations of things that happened in the original
that's how you keep your fans, because you sort of continue the stories, or you know, you're building on the story
and
of it.
And like Leela and Kif and their kids and
Now Leela, now
or Amy. Sorry, Amy.
Amy and Kif have kids now.
Yeah,
that they brought gave that birth back to like
season seven or something. Yeah, way back. Okay.
So because they're aliens, they spend like the first 20 years as like tadpoles. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
Amy was the one I always kind of like felt bad for her, because she has that classic where she wants to be liked, but like, you know,
she's just so shallow.
Yeah. She's so like, she just obnoxious. Like she wants.
And she's
to be
a
loved.
Weird man because she's completely oblivious to how life works.
Because she's a privileged girl.
But she's also super smart working with the professor.
But she was raised a privileged girl. She's like used to that lifestyle, but she's also trying to reject that lifestyle just to piss off her parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a weird mixed bag, and that makes her kind of an interesting character.
Yeah. It's kind of like oddball, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that, again, that's
she always dresses like she's doing her laundry.
Yeah, that was Fry said that. It's like, you know, your family's super rich. Why do you always dress like you're doing your laundry? She's like, I don't know, probably just to piss off my parents.
That's funny because, every time you see her, she has like, or I remember the, like the pink like sweatshirt. Yeah, sweatpants because, she's not dressed for. But I mean, the professor was always walking around in flip flops. Or in
sandals.
Or
slippers.
Slippers.
That word was in there somewhere.
That's totally, I thought like, that's totally grandpa. You know,
it's like, you know, you think he's wearing goggles. No, there's glasses. They're that thick.
Yeah.
I think it's funny in the very first episode where they or the second episode when they find him and he's like, you know, can we escape in that ship? It's like, well, we can, but I am already in my pajamas.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's the that same line. Thing he wears through the entire series.
Which I mean, makes sense, you know, animation wise, you try to keep him in the same clothes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's. My dad is probably the most geezerish person I know. Sweatpants and slippers. He wore sweatpants and slippers for like the last 10 years of his life.
And those dirty khaki shorts.
Oh God.
See, but now
those
sweatpants
just burned.
But now these days it's sweatpants and Crocs.
Yep.
Oh, what happened to the harem pants?
You know, I don't know where they're at.
In the movie they got.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were talking about you specifically. I thought you were talking about just in general.
I was. Beth's the one that singled me out.
Oh, okay. Best name and names.
Yeah, Beth's driving. No subtlety here. That's funny.
Well, that's kind of a household tradition. No getting away with BS.
Yeah, get caught on your BS.
That's how growth happens.
I went to the bank for work the other day, and I can't remember. Oh, yeah. So I was talking to somebody there, and she was new. She transferred to that branch. And so I was kind of asking, like, oh, where did you transfer from? And she mentioned, like, Ashley and Blackstone. And so I'm sitting there thinking, like first off, I can kind of picture the area. And then slowly I started thinking, like, oh, yeah, there's a bank right there. But then I started kind of remembering, like, the area. And I was like, oh, that's an awful area. She's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. And so I just kept thinking. And kind of like all the flashback came back. So after a while, I was just kind of like, ugh. I had to shake those heebie-jeebies out of me, man. Because, like, ugh, I leave those at the bank.
Whoever owns that building or that property made an aesthetic choice that I want to take the moment and say thank you. Because they remodeled the building,
mm-hmm.
and they took down the giant abacus that was on the side of it.
Oh,
that
had been there forever.
I like but they it. Put it back. Oh, when they okay. were done fixing back. The building, yeah. they put it back.
Oh, okay, cool.
Thank you. That's really I remember neat, seeing yeah. that when I was a kid, and I thought yeah. that was really neat.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what it was, and I thought it was neat. I just thought it was like some big piece of art or something.
Yeah, I didn't know it was an abacus until I was in like my teens or almost 20.
Look,
I was like, oh, that's what that is.
It's part of a bank, so obviously it's a piece of shit institution, you know, that's like not here. For the people, whatever, that whole area, not banks, man, but like, so that whole area, pretty much I'd be all for like a full-on riot, burnt down that whole space except for the abacus. Just leave it. I'd go over there with a shotgun and defend the abacus, like, look, you monsters, tear down the dealer,
dead fingers,
tear down the car dealership, tear down the storage, I'll be there in a minute to help.
Hey,
you
don't
tear
touch
down
the 7-Eleven.
Where's the 7-Eleven?
It's right there across from the abacus.
Yeah, adjacent.
Yeah.
There's one like two blocks down, man. I'd burn the 7-Eleven down.
You know, okay. Maybe.
So yeah, burn and salt the earth where that Walmart is.
Yeah, oof. For sure. Yeah. Oof. Make sure you don't let the people out. Just leave.
Yeah, lock them all in there.
Shut
them in
me.
There.
Get are, they gonna be, are they going to be sitting innocent there? Oh, absolutely. But I'm more than enough with like, you know, 8% margin of error. Just get it done.
Yeah, when that place opened up, well, we were both at, I don't know if it was, well, both of us
yeah,
were there.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like when I heard they were putting a Walmart in right there, it's like, ooh, I would hate to work there.
I've gone in there a few times. Yeah, you're not wrong.
I remember saying, like, especially since, you know, it's people that nearby that I would know or something, I said I would absolutely never go there. But I went, like, twice after months, and, yeah, it's, don't go there. I'd rather
horrible.
Drive. Couple miles away.
Yeah, the website picture people of Walmart, there's your cannon fodder right there.
Oh, you could go in there and do
Ashland
a
and
series
Blackstone.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ashland and Blackstone and the Kings Canyon and Peach.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's all. Beth and yeah, I we'll make the
we'll make the trek to Clovis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit further away, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny too, because even you go to Clovis, you go to any Walmart, the nicest Walmart you could think of, and it's still a piece of shit place, but it's like not
slightly
such
less
a, yeah.
piece of shit.
At least, you know, you can at least make it halfway through your trip before you start getting like irritated. Whereas like these other ones, you're already going to war zone, you know, you're already going.
Mm-hmm.
That's just reflective of the people in the area.
Mm-hmm. Like the neighborhood market right over here on Cedar and Shields. It's like, I'll go early in the morning before all the tweakers wake up.
Yep.
Before they wake up at 3 p.m. or something.
Mm-hmm. Or a couple times I've gone there. They open at 6 and I've gotten there like right around then.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. There's like, nobody there.
Yeah. Just the employees filling up the shelves and you're just like,
go early in the morning. They're like, you'll have to deal with some old people. Which is can be annoying, but it's not nearly as bad as the tweakers.
I could slide in there, grab a bag of oranges and a can of coffee, and slide out, and, you know,
before they're
minutes.
Even halfway down the aisle, Grandpa.
Yeah.
I guess we're just going to do a bunch of little stuff, because I have a bunch of stories that I've kind of saved up that I thought were interesting. And this one's cool because it was able to change the storyline, but do you guys hear about there was a guy that was trying to get into the Guinness World Record for building Eiffel Tower replica? Like just out of matchsticks, so he glued he's been doing this, how long was this? 23.6 foot model.
Somebody's got too much time.
He's a Frenchman. So there you go. Damn French cheese eating surrender monkeys. 8 years he spent 8 years putting together 706,900 matchsticks to make a 23.6 foot model of the Eiffel Tower, easily beating the existing record by 2 feet. But when the Guinness, you know how the Guinness people have to verify whatever when they came.
The real question is why?
Because he could, man.
Because he wanted to get in the Guinness books. Like, he should have done his research apparently. Because when the Guinness people came, that say,
it's, oh, you did hear about it? Yeah.
No, I'm just deducing from what you said.
Beth knows it's like, oh, there's the butt coming. So when they checked it though, I guess this is the thing. It's one of those like, why if you can? But you know, as far as records go, it's better than trying to eat, you know, pounds of lead.
Nickels
or
something.
Yeah, there you go. Nickels, yeah. Dumb stuff like
I
that.
I guess. Building something kind of like...
It's like, you know, the Guinness book used to be a book of achievements. Now it's just a book of... is a freak show.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, it was originally made to win bar bets, you know.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Guinness Beer. Yeah,
Guinness Beer Company.
I never knew it was connected.
As a means
that.
Of trying to get people to stop breaking out into fights in bars.
So the tallest man was 8 feet. Tallest man was only 7'5", and they're like, well, let's go to the record book. Yeah, so
I thought that was just a spoof on The Simpsons.
No. It actually, yeah.
Pit the Elder.
No, it's a different one. Like, which, I say the most close pins a person can fit on their face is like 106.
Yeah.
What? Are you counting the neck? You know I am. All right, buddy, let's go outside.
You know I am.
Oh, yeah, they went outside.
And he's then, like Homer comes in with the book, you know. Like,
oh
like
yeah,
a duff.
Oh, that's right. He does like he has all the
records.
All
the, yeah.
Because isn't that when they try to break like for the? They end up for like the world's
fattest
city.
Yeah, they were trying to make the biggest human pyramid.
That's what it was.
And they like rolled.
Because the bullies was like, dude, your hand's touching my hand, and then
like,
he like, then they all just told. Yeah, and then they land on the truck scales, and then it turns out. Somehow they knew the population, so they did the calculations.
And it's like minus belts and shoes.
Yeah, that was
like
pretty.
How much that would weigh. They knew exactly what that was.
There's only 3.5 people wearing pants or whatever. Well, so anyway, so this guy, so this is the kind of thing, I'll preface this by saying, like, where a lot of people get where immediately jump to the person's side and kind of want to defend them. But to me, it's almost just because, like, dude, the guy spent 8 years of it. Like, so what? Like, no one told him to. No one, like, obligated him to. But he spent 8 years building this. And so when the Guinness people came to check, it turns out that they disqualified him.
Because it wasn't big enough? Or?
No, for the because it was 2 feet bigger than the previous record.
Okay.
So the reason it was disqualified because what he did is... they're wooden matchsticks, right? So obviously, you know, the wooden matchsticks. So he got them from the supplier, and he was able to kind of get a deal with them where they would ship them match heads without the heads on them, or matchsticks without the heads on them. So just the stick. Well, Guinness was saying that's not allowed because it's supposed to be made, anything you make, it's supposed to be made out of stuff that's easily bought off the shelf. You can't buy this off the shelf. You'd have to go to, like, the manufacturer to get it, so it's not allowed. So he was disqualified.
So they were, because they were modified or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they disqualify him, but
so
it turns out...
So have to spend another 8 years making it out of toothpicks?
Well, no. it's okay to buy the matchsticks, but you know, like I guess the most people, you have to cut it off or like do something to like, you know, disfigure the matchstick.
That's kind of jacked up.
But well, here they go. So they went back, and I guess after everybody crying about it, so now he's in the record book. But to me, that's kind of a crucial point, because part of that process would be the preparation. So whoever sat there before him and cut the matchsticks spent extra time doing that. So it's like, well,
it's like he had some sort of deal with the manufacturers. Not everyone's going to have a deal with the manufacturers.
Or it's like a shortcut. It's like a shortcut. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
It's almost like saying, okay, you're gonna like rate the guy that beat the land speed record in 1903 with somebody of, you know, 2025. Like, you can't do that. Like, the technology is advancing, you know, it's just not equal measure. So that's why I feel like he should have stayed disqualified. Because it makes sense to disqualify him. Because, like, yeah, part of that is the guy could have maybe added two more feet if he, you know, felt like spending three more years cutting these stupid matches. But he's like, I'm done. That's as tall as I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
So that's my argument for it. So it's kind of like, first off, why are you doing this, guy? And then, fine, but you're going to...
I think the Guinness Book of Records has become kind of a freak show.
It has, because for sure.
Not everyone can get 30 feet on the long jump or whatnot. So they've had to start branching out and finding other things to try and get their name in the record books for.
Well, there's even that guy I remember years ago where he's had he has the most records in the Guinness book, and they're for like dumb stuff.
Did he give
him
a record,
like,
for that?
The guy that clapped, I'd probably. But the guy, you know, did one-handed clap for the longest, which was like 3 days or something. It's kind of like... You just think of a way.
What?
I don't know if that's exactly it, but I'm saying, like, it's something very,
yeah,
superfluous like that, where it's kind of like.
So I remember Kenny G was getting into the Book of World Records, like
holding the longest note.
Note, because he was using circular breathing, and you just see him with his clarinet and just walking back and forth, and you just holding his nose for like 8 hours.
Jeez. Well, I mean, that's what it takes. You have to have it on video to be able to verify it. Yeah.
Well, see,
video that, or some sort of,
or have the judge right there in the room,
and that's kind of where I sway back and forth, because normally I would think, like, well, that's a stupid thing, because like, if you're not a musician, you know, you could just hold a random note, you know, you have no clue to know, versus him, who's a professional who gives it a shot at this record. And circular breathing, that's a neat technique to have.
Yeah,
yeah, but circular breathing is something that anyone can learn.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's...
But it still takes effort to
learn. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
yeah, but, you know, anything you put into the Book of World Records is going to take effort.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, they do, like, eating the biggest bowl of fried ants or something like that, when it's kind of like...
Well, that comes back to the matchsticks, you know, whether or not they have the heads on it. It's something anybody can access.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could argue that, like, well, anybody could talk to a manufacturer and get... You know, sticks without the matches on it. But again, up to this point, maybe there was just one other clown that built his tower, but he had to go through the extra process of cutting them off. And it's kind of like, you can't say, like, well, you know, it's not my fault he didn't think of that ahead. It's like, well, that's part of the process, you know what I mean? But I don't know, it's just like semantics, I guess. Stupid. I just think features. It's funny. Well, I just think it's funny that, you know, the guy spent 8 years and getting his, like, yeah, so what? And it's kind of like, oh, man,
it's
this,
like,
sucks.
You know how many people have spent years doing something, hoping to get in the Book of World Records and not make it?
Yeah.
So he's not the first.
Yeah, the guy that clapped for his hand for, you know, 3 weeks, and then, you know, there's a guy that did it for 2 weeks and 6 days, and it's kind of, oh, man, I couldn't hold on to that last day. He's like, well, that's, you know, how you separate the men from the boys. I don't know.
Not like that, but it's just like, I kind of look at that and like, why? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's so many other things you could have been doing with your time, and you chose that.
Yeah.
You chose to stand in a public square to try and get the world record of standing for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
For like 10 years or whatever. It's like, why?
See, look, this is where it kind of talks about it. Having grown tired of buying matches from the supermarket and manually removing the sulfur heads of each one. Yeah, because that's what the other guy had to do. He struck a deal with the manufacturer to sell 33-pound boxes of headless matches. So, yeah, it's a shortcut. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of equate it to, like, say, standing up a house of cards, but, you know, you glue them. It's like, that's kind of...
That's cheating.
Yeah.
That's just outright cheating.
Maybe I thought about it for a bit. I don't know. So he used 706,900 sticks. The previous guy, he even tells his record, his was only 21.4 feet high. He used 6 million matches. How do you use that much more? I don't know. It didn't specify, but maybe he used more, like, braces on it or something. Mm-hmm. But Because that's a hell of a lot more than the other guy.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds even like, see, now without going specific, maybe the guy used a different design. Who knows? He used stronger glue, so you don't have to do as many cross bracing or something.
I remember I had to do something like that in high school one time. We were,
I forget
what the purpose of it was, but we had to build like a mock oil derrick. And
out of matchsticks?
Yeah. But you were only allowed to glue the ends. You couldn't glue the whole length of the stick together, just the ends.
So you couldn't make like a double one so it's stronger or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I forget what the heck the point of it was, but we broke off into teams and we
the teacher could drink more.
And it had to be
busy work.
Freestanding. You couldn't glue the whole length of it. And it had to be whatever shape you want, but it had to be, have a hole in the middle because they had a 5-gallon bucket with a weight in it. They would put it on a table.
Yeah.
And
they would hang that off it?
And hang it down through the center of of your structure.
So it has to hold.
And then slowly add weight to the bucket until it collapsed.
Oh, shoot.
So you guys had to build this thing only to have it destroyed.
Yes.
To see which one
had science.
Yes, for science.
Which like
and
that
then is like you did that, but it was also we would weigh your structure to see who had the strongest structure
with the less weight.
But the least weight. Yeah, because then it's like how much does your structure weigh versus how much can it hold for like.
So that's how they decided the winner, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh,
whoever held the most weight per gram of toothpick structure.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's a way more exciting thing than, you know, sticking matchsticks to make it as tall.
Yeah.
Why not just get like one stick and just keep gluing it one on end like a caterpillar? You know what I mean? And just super glue it up there till you have a giant matchstick up there. Oh, man. You know what? If I had a dumb talent like that, I would do it.
One thing that you could do to make your structure lighter was stick it after the glue had dried, stick it in the microwave, because that would, you know, make them hot.
Yeah.
So the moisture would come out of the sticks, so it would dry them out. But drying them out makes them more brittle.
Well, what about like the actual glue? Wouldn't the glue like, you know, come off it with the microwave?
No, it's Elmer's glue.
Oh. You could eat it. You could peel it off your hands.
Okay.
You could,
don't. Eat the glue.
What? It's non-toxic, man.
That doesn't mean edible.
that is a very true statement. Remember, you know.
That means you can, but you doesn't mean you should.
Back to the Eiffel Tower. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That's right. There's a big difference between can and should.
Well, that's funny.
And knowing that difference can make you...
Can save your life. Yeah, I was going to say. Is it like crucial? Yeah, it can actually save your life. It's like the guy that drinks a can of oil.
Paint drinking Pete.
Oh, or paint.
Okay. No, oil is definitely toxic. Do not drink that.
Cooking oil is not, but you probably still shouldn't drink that. It's just unhealthy.
Okay, I saw it in a movie. I thought it was... Movies will not lie to me.
Yeah.
Dumbest thing ever.
It was on the internet. It must be true.
If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Just like every flat earth theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, the earth is flat as far as we've determined. Why are there bridges? No, I'm just kidding. I like to but like throw out the conspiracy stuff. I don't know. It seems, maybe that's like the that one episode about, you know, the pea satisfaction that got me like the most downloads. Maybe that's somewhere these phrases get caught up, like flat earth, flat earth.
I got two challenges from every flat earther. One, pictures from the edge. Two, what's on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
You mean like underneath?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If everything in our known world is on a flat earth and it's one side and we're all on the same side,
yeah.
What's on the other side?
What's holding
Picks
the earth?
Picks or didn't
up?
Happen.
What's holding the earth up? And don't even talk to them about like you know sunrises and sunsets or what do you call it? Like, you know, as the earth spins, the axis, like why we have shorter winters, all that good stuff.
All of that only...
Say science doesn't matter when we have crackpot theories.
Yeah, true. Yeah, very true.
That's some of my coworkers.
Oh, man. So one thing, I guess, back to the car part, because I wasn't expecting to go, but I got an oil change on the poor guy, finally. It got to the point where the maintenance light just was like would stay on. Like, look, man.
You know the light's just glaring at you.
Yeah, it's not enough of a hint. Like, So when I have that light and then I let the gas go low and I have like all the three lights go, and then I know it's like it's like hitting three cherries, man. Like, oh yeah, breakdown incoming anytime soon.
You got the tic-tac-toe, man. Breakdown yes. imminent.
Yeah, yeah. Just cruising down the road, just sweating bullets. I actually have the radio off so I can hear the car. That's how you know.
That's like right. a lot of people's, you know, go to fix it all.
Turn off the radio.
Just turn the radio up. Yeah. It's like my engine's making a sound. Turn the radio up. Not a problem anymore.
There you go.
When I put my car for sale, it's like it makes awful grinding noise when it shifts from second to third gear. Oh, what's your solution to that? Just crank up the radio, man. What do you call it?
It's funny. Wow.
ZZ Top will get me through this. Whoop.
There you go. Beth saw a series of memes one time. It's like, you know, there's two kinds of people. It's like pictures of gas gauge. Like one's like down to a quarter, you know, it's down to a quarter tank.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, I better go get gas.
Yeah.
And I know my car.
Or like, it's on yeah. E. It's on E. It's yeah. like, yeah, I know my car.
It's got another 5 miles easily. I can't tell you how many times I got burnt on the motorcycle like that way, but you know, either had to use the reserve or thankfully had like I could walk it down the half block.
Yeah, see, you know, a motorcycle breaks down, you can walk it. Cars, you have to find somebody to help you push.
Flag it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got the oil change though, and I can't remember. You know, as we're getting, I did one of those drive-through ones or whatever, and as I'm kind of getting it done.
Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, it was a different one, but I can't remember the name of it.
Speedy oil change.
I'm just getting
oil change and audio.
So I'm getting ready to get rid of. But so I went through there and the guy that I was talking to.
You're getting the hank of disappointment.
Yeah, right? I don't know why. Just because. What do you want me to do it myself? No way, man. That day's.
I work at a shop, Dinkus.
Oh, but I'd have to drop it and then get picked up and then this
you
way.
You could wait for it. We do waiters.
Really?
Yes.
Well, see, now I know, because I did feel kind of guilty. This is like a car guy deal, but I did feel guilty taking off the little reminder sticker, and then you put like a separate. I've done that like four or five times where there's five different people, and I feel guilty, you know? I feel bad because it's like the last person puts it on. They're like, hey, man, come back to me within 3,000 miles, and, you know, I'll hook you up, but then you're sitting there peeling off like the trash. I just
not only that, but something else I've noticed is getting your car, taking your car to the same place repeatedly,
yeah.
This quality of service tends to increase with visits.
Yeah, yeah, because they know you're going to be coming back.
Yeah, yeah, they're, so they're going to care. They're going to try to impress you. They're going to, it's like also.
You're going to make sure to clean it nice. And
this is something I've noticed, not just me, but
that's funny.
As a car comes back over and over again, the mechanic builds a relationship with the car.
Yeah,
so it's
when
the car comes back, it's like
a lot of times it's a bad relationship. It's like you again.
You
there
demon.
There are some vehicles, yes.
What baby?
But there are sometimes
Christine
it's like,
or what is it? Yeah, the evil.
What
car?
Do you do with it?
But other times it's like, hey, Hank the Tank is back. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You just know like, oh, what you need now, buddy?
Little green. What are you doing here?
It brightens your day a little bit, man. As we can, you pop the hood and you got like a brand new thing. Yeah.
Every once in a while, there's another old Cavalier that comes to my shop.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when that thing is like, Mark, yeah, I do the oil change on this car, and I see that, and it's like, yes, I will gladly change the oil on this and polish it up.
You know, it's cake. You know, it's smooth.
I mean, it's the same year as my car.
Oh, okay. So you have some bias.
Mine's a 93 cab. This one's a 93 cab. This one is also a 93 cab.
Yeah.
But it's a sedan and an automatic, so it's a little bit different, but it's like... Okay. That car is it's the direct cousin to my car. I have to take care of this.
So, you know, like, if something happens to your car, you have a spare there you could kind of borrow alternator from or something.
But also, just like, I have to take care of this.
Yeah, you can't, like, be nice to yours and, you know, your car's cousin or whatever.
Yeah.
You ever do that? Like, I drive around and I see, like, an older car or usually a younger car than mine. And I'm always, you know, trying to pass me or something like, hey, man, you got to respect your big brother. And I sit there. I do that all the time, too. Like, or it's the same make. And I'm just kind of like, hey, man, we're cousins. Why are you trying to cut me off like that, you jackass? So I build rapport with the vehicle, not the actual driver. The drivers, I give two shits about. You know, so I see the guy get flown through a windshield like, damn, I got to replace that windshield.
Something, too, though, like when you take it to one of those, like, drive-through quick stop things, they're not going to give you the level of care that you expect. Like, my mom, for the longest time, they'd take their car to get the oil changed at one of those places.
Yeah.
And then she was, like, really, you know, shocked to find out that, you know, her transmission fluid and her washer fluid and all that stuff was really low. They're like, we just got the oil changed. And it's like, Yeah, you got the oil change.
Yeah, yeah, they're not gonna
do they check your other fluids? Well, I assumed they would. Yeah.
Drain and fill.
Never
drain and fill. That's what they do.
Yeah.
In and out.
Which is what I was looking for. But yeah, you have the one. They did check a couple of things. But yeah, it's they're not going to sit there and, you know, they see your axle like hanging off by slivers of metal. And they're like, let's hurry up and get this thing out of here.
Like, get this piece of shit out of here before it breaks.
Yeah, we don't want it to break it down on our property.
You know? That's it.
But yeah, as I'm getting the stuff and, you know, doing all the preliminary questions and, you know, he's, you know, asking me to, you know, to get the mileage and all that stuff. I can't remember how we started talking, but like I either gave him my license or something. But I mentioned something about like almost turning 40 and feeling, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember the guy was something about like, oh man, you know, like 40 something. Is this dude hitting on me? Because that is not some, it's not, I don't get, you know.
It might be, man.
A young thing
those big
like
old cheeks
you.
Here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, young, oh, sweet young things. Like, oh, you or something.
Oh, you.
Quit that kitten or something. But I was thinking, it's not something you hear often when somebody's trying to, like, you know.
I don't know, maybe he's into teddy bears.
That gets a little. Yes. There's been like four spots throughout this recording.
That was my ambitions for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's funny. But I did think that I was kind of like, it did put like a slight feather in my cap. You know what I mean? I was kind of like, okay, I still got this, man. That's funny. I wonder who would have liked Tawny better, though. I kind of let Tawny
maybe. I mean, which neighborhood was this?
It was in Clovis, so that's a go for.
Which area? Near Fresno State?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have been in Tanya.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, I thought that was pretty funny when it's kind of like, oh man, is he, you know, putting the moves on me there? Well, I'm glad, you know, what made it more.
Well, he's got lots of lubricant.
Yeah, they got.
Oh!
All right, Beth, you get it.
That was good.
As far as like jokes, like, yeah.
That's better than mine.
I kind of wasted on yours there, really, but.
By comparison, yeah.
Can I go back? I'm gonna have to edit that out.
Oh, come on!
What?
You can't take away my trophy.
Well, no, the joke is that
I
never.
The
edit.
The teddy bear one was kind of funny.
See, but I thought the joke is that I never edit. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm oh, okay, yeah,
that's where the joke is. Fix that in post.
I forgot about that.
And give yourself a rim shot just for saying that. Fix it in post.
Fix it in post. Like that's a joke. Kind of, I guess, tune in that because you know I'm soon to be 40. I'm the second one to take the plunge. This year, but
over that hill.
But I've been thinking about this the last 1 or 2 weeks because I drive by there all the time. But you know, for my 40th birthday, I might stop by the strip club, go for
to City Lights.
Yeah, just go by my.
I heard the girls at City Lights are nothing to be excited.
Well,
over.
I hear that about each well, of the I mean, two strip clubs in town. So it's almost like you either go to.
Well,
where
I mean,
I'm guessing you've got you know what is it, City Lights and
Gold Diggers? Yeah.
I something think between about the two.
Well, if you've ever driven by Golden State where it's at, there's like nothing around that area. So something about me.
Dude, it's a sketchy area.
Yeah. It's one of those like if you know you have unruly guests, you know, you get handled a certain way. You know what I mean? Versus City Lights, there's a lot of, you know, city around.
I mean, it's
versus,
near the airport. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So you would expect less underhanded things to go on there, you know, but. I've thought about that.
Both areas are near open fields, so
just take that into account.
Yeah,
a lot of freshly dug graves.
Yeah, this I think time actually there's year. I think there's a reservoir not too far from City Lights.
Oh man, that makes it like
it's like getting back to South Park. We were watching this episode when we were on our vacation last month, and Chef had been brainwashed, and they're trying to bring him back. So they take him to a strip club, and like there's this one really old. Lady working there going, dance.
Yeah.
Anyone want to dance?
Every time they go to the strip club, she's always there. And she's always trying to, like, I remember the one where that was one of my favorite ones when the boys were like pretending to be cops. Then they got hired by like the real cops. They sent them undercover to do like drug work and they're getting shot. And the boys are just going pew, pew, pew with their hands. Yeah. But they're getting blasted with like 45s and, you know, 9mm. But they're like, these guys are cops, man. And so they go to strip club and there's a huge shootout there. And then, yeah, the lady comes by as they're
dance.
Shooting. Yeah, as they're shooting and ducking, she's walk by. Dance. Anybody want to dance? Yeah.
Are you watching that again?
But yeah, so I thought about going to strip club. For years, you know, of course, you know, being a hormonal teen like those decades ago, it has a certain appeal to it. And you think, oh, it's exciting. But once I hit like my early 20s and, you know, you work with other guys, it had less appeal to me because, like, something about going to giving out money just to women to pretend they like you. I got no problem if they sit there and just dance.
Like, I can go to the bank and have the women pretend to like me.
Give them my money. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Give them most money. Stores do, yeah.
Or, you know, stuff like that. That's kind of where I thought were... I would have no problem giving out singles and stuff like that. Just as long as they didn't pretend like, you know, you're some special guy. Like, just like, dance.
You don't have to lie to me, man.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just entertain me.
I look like one of those neglected gross teddy bears, but you don't have to, like, you know, pretend like I'm, oh, wow. You're so, no, don't cut. And that's the thing. As soon as that would happen, I'd immediately just be like, my brain would just be like, well, I'm done here. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, oh, wow. You must really think I'm the most handsome guy that has ever came through here. Like, whatever.
There are some guys that pathetic.
Oh no, yeah. I'm sure they got, you know, plenty of spots where guys that go back all the time, ask for the same girl, and you know.
Did Roxanne get my flowers? She did.
Well, kind of a similar one, but South Park, where this is going to be a South Park centric episode. We're almost done anyway.
Well, that was Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Simpsons.
I was Skinner at the Polaresque house.
Well, I was going to do the, like, I guess
he's
what I was talking
it back
about.
Around.
But the one where raisins, where they're making fun of
Hooters. Oh, yeah.
And
be sure to show those raisins.
Yeah, that was gross
and,
as
like,
hell. But
Butter is like,
fell in love with
one of them, yeah.
One of the waitresses, like, oh, hon. And he's like, he's all excited. And he
he's
goes
like,
there.
She called me hon. She like leaned against me and gave me a hug.
She put her hand on my shoulder and stuff like that. But then finally, once he realizes that, you know, she just took all his money or whatever, and he's all heartbroken, and then Stan is heartbroken, I think, he joined the Goths because I think Wendy didn't like him or something happened, but he got all depressed.
Yeah.
And so he's joining the Goths, you know, conformists. I always like that one because they're saying, all you have to do is dress like us, use the same, you know, listen to the same music, and, you know, go to the same spots we do, and then you'll be a nonconformist.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, But so he's all depressed, and then Butters is like, you know, right after that he's depressed, and so Stan's walking by, and he's, you know, trying to recruit him to the Goths because he's depressed, and he's like, no, I know it hurts now, but I'll get over it and move on and whatever that. He's like, plus I'd rather be, you know, a crybaby than a sissy little Goth like you guys, and he just walks off, which like, is pretty much.
Dude, that guy's such a nonconformist.
Yeah, he's such a conformist. He's actually a conformist, which is the bad thing. But it's kind of the way that is, you know, he'll get over. Butters is very mature for being a, you know, effed up as he is as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my parents are going to be very sore with me.
Yeah, they'll be very sore with me. Yeah.
I mean, he almost got sold to Paris Hilton for $2.5 million or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, as a dog. Yeah, yeah.
He was as a pet, yeah.
I remember that when he's all, woof. He's all, woof.
It's like, oh, Butters, it's like his parents are like, well, we'll make a deal with you. You can stay. If you go and dig out a hole and find like $2 million worth of gold or coal or something in the yard.
Did you match Paris Hilton's offer? No. Oh, Dad, don't make me go with Paris Hilton.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, I don't know, guys. You guys just want to cut it off now or you guys want to record some more?
Let's see. Well, I mean, you still got more.
Okay.
I can still go more.
All right, then we'll take a break and then we'll start the show.